Yeah. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's pick back up what we did last week. Hebrews 11. I remember my mom told me before about when she was carrying me, either carrying me or after I was first born. I can't remember. But you would go through the house and you would pray. Was it after I was born or before? Maybe you're sharing that. I mean, I've told that story to folks before, actually. And, you know, I was born in 1971. And, you know, that was, you know, I can see why, you know, we think every generation's worse. And maybe it is. Who knows? But, you know, in 1971, we just come through the sexual revolution of the 60s and the drugs all coming out. And America changed in the late 60s in a major way. And so, you know, it went from happy days to Ralph, Mouth, and Potsy to, you know, getting jiggy with it. And it changed. And so I can see why my mom was concerned. It's a big time in our country that shifted things. So, but I remember my mom telling me that she prayed over me, that God would watch over me because she didn't know what I'd be facing. But as long as God was there, it'd be okay. And God did watch over me and kept me. And I'm thankful for that, very thankful. Brandon, we're going to go back to the, let's go to where it says defines faith, a couple of things I had on there. You weren't here last week, but the first couple of slides talks about what faith is. If you can pull that up. No, it was last Wednesday. You weren't here last Wednesday. You were sick. Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah, I didn't miss you Wednesday, sorry. All right. 2 points. The point is I missed you, one of the services. Faith, two things. Number one, faith is seeing it before you see it. And really think about that. You know, people don't think faith's a myth or just wishful thinking or just something, a crutch we lean on as Christians, but faith is really seeing it before we see it. And I use the analogy a lot about getting married. You know, when you get married, you're seeing your future with your spouse before you see it, aren't you? You're seeing yourself growing in love, you're seeing yourself having children, you're seeing yourself having a home, you're seeing yourself raising a family, you're seeing yourself starting your careers, you know, you're seeing yourself still giving sugar when you're 40 years old, all that good stuff, right? You're seeing each other do that throughout your life. Number two thing about faith is it's believing something before it happens. That's what faith is, believing in it before it happens. And I think with our spiritual walk sometimes, we're great at believing God when he shows us ahead of time, oh yeah, this is true. This is really going to happen. But that's not really faith. Faith is believing God at his word before we see his word materialize in our lives. Before we see it come to pass, I believe it, God. And we've been using examples in Hebrews 11 about Noah and the ark, how he prepared before any rain came. We talked about Abraham, how God called him to leave a country that he would show him. He didn't tell him where he's going at the time. He says, I'll show you as you leave. I'll lead you and show you where you're going to go and where you're going to end up. And the Bible says Abraham obeyed. So we talked about that last week, Noah and Abraham, about having faith. Faith is on our board here, as you can see. Gordon reminded me my board wasn't up here, so thank you for that, Gordon. But on our board here, here's our tree. And the foundation, it's the first time LaJean's seen my artwork. I drew this, LaJean, all by myself. This is Ebenezer training right here. My tree trunk represents, of course, the foundation, which is Christ. And then from that foundation, then, you know, we begin to grow off of that. And the Bible says in John 15, he is the vine, we're the branches. So here we're the branches, and we talked about the last few weeks bearing our fruit, our spiritual life should be joy, peace, love, long-suffering or patience. And we're talking about faith. That's something we should be producing as Christians, of course, is faith. That's what really separates us from everybody else, right, is our faith. I believe in something beyond this. I believe in a creator that I can't maybe touch or see physically, but I can see what he's created, and I believe that. And there's a guy I've been talking with. He's an older guy. He's about 77, 78, and he's on the real extreme, how can I say this? he's more spiritually liberal than I am, spiritually liberal. And so we were talking the other day about some things and talking about, I think I surprised him because he's talking about, well, I believe in science, James. I believe in nature and science. And I said, well, I do too, Richard. Oh, yeah, I do too. I believe in science. I just believe in a scientist over the science. You know, I believe in nature, but I believe in a creator over the nature. I believe in these things. I believe in, and it gave me opportunity to really share, and he didn't say a whole lot because he couldn't argue what I had to say. I mean, yeah, I believe in science. You know, I did a message years ago, if you remember, a message called Big Bang or God or Both. And, of course, it was both, right? And I told Richard this. I said, Richard, I believe in the Big Bang. You do? Yeah. I think God says, bang, and it happened. He just looked at me. I said, of course I believe it. I know it started. I know it was created. You know, and so I believe in what we see around us, but I believe there's a creator behind all that we see. And that's where many people stop. They don't have faith in a creator. They have faith in what they can see, the trees, the mountains, the oceans, space, stars, moon. But they don't believe in who created those things. And, of course, I do because we know that this is too beautiful and too exact. I was telling him, too, I said, think about when you go to the beach, you see them tide charts. High tide, low tide, to an exact minute. Think about that. You go to a fishing pier, it has those tide charts on there. High tide, 3:13 a.m., and then again, 2:45 p.m. Low tide. I mean, it's got it down to a science, and God controls that. The tides are controlled by our Creator. And so faith is essential to our walk as Christians. The song we just sung, one day we'll cross that river. If you have no faith, there's no river for you to cross. If you have no faith, there's no triumphant victory over death. If you have no faith in anything beyond this, this is the best you got, so you better enjoy it. It's all you got. Thank God. Remember what Paul says? If all I had was this life, I would be most miserable. If all I had to look forward to was the 40, 50, 80, 100 years I live on this earth, I'd be miserable. But thanks to God, there's something beyond the grave, and there's something beyond old age, and there's something beyond the pain, and there's something beyond the hardships, there's something beyond the battles, there's something beyond the struggles, there's something greater beyond everything that I experience here, and it's called the kingdom of God, which we shall walk in as the people of God. And that's not up for debate, it's not a question, it is the word of God, which never passeth away. And I trust that, and I believe that, and I will adhere to that until my last breath, because I know that I know there's a God in everything that I see, everything I touch, everything I hear. God is in it. And when His Word says it, that's good enough for me to trust that. His Word is secure. And I am thankful for that. Let's go to verse 11, I think, Brandon, is where I want to start tonight. Chapter 11, verse 11. Yep. We'll talk about Sarah. Now, remember the story of Sarah and Abraham. They wanted a child of their own, but Sarah's womb was barren, and she had produced no children for Abraham. And so Sarah's fix to the problem, you know, even after God had told her He would bless her with a child, her fix was to send Abraham into her handmaiden to have her give him a child. That's a good wife right there. So here's his wife. Says, I know you want a son, so go lie with my handmaiden, and she will give you one. Well, she did give Abraham a child, Ishmael, gave him a child. Well, then, of course, Sarah resented her, of course, and she resented Sarah back. Sometimes we need just to, well, really, all the time, we need to wait on God to do it His way instead of us taking it in our own hands and trying to fix it. So, God had promised Sarah and Abraham a child. Now, Sarah was old, her womb was dried up, and it looked impossible. By all facts, it looked impossible. Look what verse 11 says. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She believed God's promise. His word and His promises and Him meeting our needs and Him coming through on our behalf doesn't come on our time schedule. It doesn't come when we think it should come sometimes. It's like the old song, 4 days late, right? If you'd been here, Lord, he wouldn't have died. You're 4 days late. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm right on time. So our 4 days late just means God's still on time. Because God knows our season, and God knows our purpose, and God knows our plan, and God knows when we need, what we need, at the time we need it. So I'm going to trust that. Now, God made this promise to Sarah and Abraham, and it took 25 years from the time he gave a promise until she would conceive this child. 25 years had passed. We give up by next Tuesday. God ain't done it yet. Been 8 days, God, I've been praying, been seeking, been fasting. It ain't happened. Ain't happened. But God's promises cannot fail. And when he says something, it is the truth. And his word is full of promises to us. Promises about us being forgiven. Promises about our future, where we're going to be. Promises about who he is. These are promises to us. So here she is. She had strength to receive seed. Let's read the story of Sarah in Genesis. That's my next slide, I believe, right? Yep, Genesis 17, 19. And you ain't got to turn. I'm going to skip around a little bit here in Genesis. I just want to read the story of what happened. God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. God said. That's the key, right? God said, Sarah, not her handmaiden, not another woman, not a different Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son. You shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. You talking about a promise that keeps on giving. This is a big deal. I'm going to give you a seed that's going to establish my covenant forever. And God's going to do it. And God doesn't need the conditions, the human condition, to be right for him to do his work. God can do what he wants, when he wants, to whom he wants. We've seen John the Baptist was born to a barren mother. God opened her womb, and here comes John the Baptist. The Holy Spirit conceived upon Mary, who had known no man, and bore that. The mother of Samson was barren, if you remember that story, and God spoke to her, says, you're going to bear a son. He'll be a Nazarite all of his days. Opened her womb to produce one of the greatest judges of all of Israel. God's methods doesn't have to match where we are at. He can overcome the odds. He can overcome the difficulties. He can overcome what man says can't be overcome. We see it even in today's world. We see where God still heals us divinely, where God restores us divinely, where God opens a supernatural door that we know God opened when no man said it could be open. I still remember, and this may not be a big deal to you guys because a lot of you don't understand maybe the retail world as much as I do, but I remember when I was training in Statesville to be a co-manager at Walmart. I had a buddy training with me. We was both co's and trained together, and he's a little ahead of me, so he was about to get off the program and go somewhere. And they shipped him to a little town called Silva, North Carolina. Little Silva. Ain't nothing in Silva. Well, when he said he's going to Silva, me got scared. I'm like, I don't want to go to Silva. You know, a Silva out there. And so I went and talked to my district supervisor, David Cruz. Went and talked to him. And they had a different district supervisor in Mooresville. It was really weird that close, but it was a different district. And they were building a new supercenter in Mooresville. So I went to my district manager in Statesville and says, are you okay if I go talk to the other district manager about the Mooresville store? That's exactly what he told me. He says, well, I'm fine with that, but he ain't going to talk to you. That's going to be a $100 million supercenter, and you're brand new. They're not going to talk to you. They're going with somebody experienced. I said, but you're giving permission to talk to you. Yeah, okay. So I called Mr. Curtis Sheffy up, told him who I was. He scheduled my interview. I went down. Of course, I'm very nervous. You know, gosh, I'm nervous. I've been in the company 6 months. I'm green. I'm 28 years old, 27 years old. About Thomas's age. How old is Thomas? 29. Yeah, 29. I was younger than Thomas. And I'm down here in Mooresville. Didn't know anybody at that store. I'm talking to the supervisor I never met before. And in my head, I'm thinking about what that guy says. He's not going to talk to you. But I go in, and I put my best foot forward and do the best interview I know how to do. And I'm at the store in States working one day. I get a phone call. James, it's Curtis Sheffy. So I want you to come down. You go start. I'm telling you, that was a God thing, because not only my district manager, but also my store manager at the time told me, he says, these trainees, they like moving y'all, and you have to go where they offer you a store. I mean, if you want to stay at the company, when they offer you something, you got to take it. And I got to stay right in my hometown, a brand new store, and I got to meet Joe Brown and Sharon Brown and Karina and Von Seal and Matt and all these beautiful people that are part of our church. To me, that was God opening a door supernaturally when it shouldn't have been open. I was 27 years old, 6 months with a company, and they put me in a super center. It's still the grocery side of that store, the food side, is still the number one volume store in North Carolina. And not only that, I got to hire my own staff for the whole side. So I hire over 200 people, interview them, offer them. I do all the hiring. Store manager gave me liberty to hire my whole staff over there. I'm 27. I look back now and think, man, it's a baby. That's a kid. But God's favor was on my life. And I'm so thankful. By faith, I believe that God had put me at Walmart, and he wasn't going to just throw me in some silver somewhere. He was going to put me where I was supposed to be, and I am so thankful for that. Next verse. This is Genesis also 18:11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, and they were well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. That's a real weird way of wording that, right? She's old, can't have no youngins. That's what that means. She's way past childbearing years. Next verse. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, waxed old, I love that expression, shall I have pleasure? And my Lord being old also? Lord, you know how old I am? Lord, have you looked in the mirror at me lately? And look at my husband. Bless his heart. He barely got the couch by himself. He's got to have a stair of steps to get on the camel to go to the market. He's old. I'm old. And she laughed. I think sometimes we don't truly appreciate and understand the power of God and what he can do. We shouldn't laugh at what God can't do. We should believe what God can do. We shouldn't say, God, you can't do that. What does Luke tell us? The book of Luke. With God, all things are possible. All things are possible. Lazarus was dead for 4 days to the point he was already having decay in his body. It doesn't take long for a body to start decaying. He's in a tomb, and 4 days he'd been there with no breath in his body, no life, no oxygen whatsoever. And they even told Jesus, says, I'm going to, you know, take me to his grave. Lord, he's stinking. He's already starting to stink. It's too late. You missed the boat. You should have been here 4 days ago. He's dead, buried, and gone. There's no way. It's too late, God. We've already done the service now, and it's non-refundable. Okay? He's buried, wrapped up. We done put all the myrrh and the perfumes, and we done sealed the rock and paid for his gravesite. It's over. He said, just roll back the stone. Called his name. Take him to the grave. Called his name. Lazarus, come forth. And he came alive again. He came back to life. This is what God can do. He does things that are impossible and we have no power to do. But if we will trust God and walk by faith and believe, God, I may not can see how it's going to work out. I can't figure it out. I don't know what's going to happen. But Lord, I just trust you. I trust you in my everyday walk. I trust you with my job. I trust you with my health. I trust you with my money. I trust you with my family. I trust you when I put my seatbelt on and go down the highway. God, I'm in your hands from morning to dawn, from dawn to dark, from in bed all night long. God, I'm in your care. I trust you. If we had that kind of faith, but we really, for many of us, most of us, what happens is we have faith in what we're seeing. We have faith in what's happening. We have faith in the tangible things we can put our hands on. We have faith. I got faith. I got a job tomorrow, so I got faith. I got faith. I got money for gas in my pocket. I got faith. But when there's no money in your pocket for gas, you're not sure about your job tomorrow. You're not sure what's going to happen in your body because you got a report that's not very favorable, so you don't know how that's going to really turn out. It's at that point we find out where our faith lies. Does our faith lie in what we have been able to control or does our faith lie in who he is? It's a big difference. As long as we control things, we're pretty good. But when it's out of our control, that's the test. Do we freak out and panic, or do we simply say, peace, be still? God, I trust you. Our diagnosis, our storms, our battles, our tomorrows should not change the faith we have in him, because he's the same. And he knows what's best for me. And that's what I trust. Next verse. Genesis 18, verse 13. The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of surety bear a child which am old? Next verse. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything, he's saying, too hard for me? It's not. But we put timetables on things, and we put tangible measurements, and when those measurements aren't met and that timetable's not met, we begin to doubt God's in it. God knows what he's doing, and God sees tomorrow when we can't. All of our days, the Bible says, are numbered. They're all numbered. It says that. They're all numbered. God already knows when each one of our last days on earth, the way we are now, will be. He knows that. He knows that time. And so if he knows my day of departure, he knows all my days, he knows my days are numbered, then I've got to trust him in each of those days. I trust you, God. There's nothing too hard for you to do. Just because this has happened doesn't mean it's the end. Because this hasn't happened don't mean it's not going to change for me. God can change your moment. God can change your season. God can change things in an instant. God can change those things. One phone call can change your world. I'm talking about the good. Can change your world for the good. God can move one mountain to change everything when it's been standing there all your life. And all of a sudden, finally, the mountain has been moved out of your way. Or the giant has finally fallen. The chain's finally broken. Because it's not broken today doesn't mean it's not going to be broken forever. It's just not broken today. So I trust God, you are the chain breaker. Though I'm bound, you're still a chain breaker. There's a giant still in front of me, you're the giant slayer. God, though the mountain still stands there, you're the God of the mountain. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how many obstacles are there, you're the God over all of those things. So at any time, you can kill it, move it, change it, shift it. Doesn't matter. You're God, and that's what I trust. That's why David said in that one verse in Psalm says, where does my help come from? You know, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord. That's where it comes from. My help doesn't come from what I can give. My help comes from what he can give. He's the one that fights my battles. He's the one that tames the lions. He's the one that changes everything. So God, I trust you by faith. And faith is something we have to develop by reading the Word of God. The Bible says that our faith increases by what? Hearing the Word of God, right? By hearing the Word of God. It's different. Reading is great. Doing your thing at home is great. But when we come to church and we're together and we're hearing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the preaching of God's Word, there's something different about that. There's something that plants inside of us that takes root, that begins to grow. And the devil knows that. So it's why he tries to discourage people from filling the seats on Sunday or Wednesday, wherever they go, because he knows they don't hear the Word, nothing takes root. But when the Word comes forth, because the Bible says that the Word will not return what? Void. Ever. It won't return void. So no matter if you come to a service here on a Wednesday or Sunday and you leave thinking, he was off today. I didn't really feel that today. Somebody felt it. Because I trust God's Word, that the Word does not return void. It does not return empty. It produces something when it is sown. When the Word of God, under the anointing of the Lord in preaching and teaching, when that Word comes forth, it is planting itself inside of us. And we may not feel it that moment, may not see it that moment, but I promise you it's been planted. And when something is planted, it will grow. And it may grow fast, it may grow slow, but it will grow. And you will feel it and know it and experience it when you need to experience it. And trust that seed has been planted. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time. Look at that. At the time appointed. It's up to me, Sarah. It's up to me, Abraham. At the time that I have appointed, not you. The time that I have appointed. I will return unto you according to the time of life. I'm going to bring your womb alive again. I'm going to restore that which has dried up and died. I'm going to resurrect that which has been barren. And I'm going to create in you a life that shouldn't be, but because I'm in it, it shall be. Because I am the one that gives you life. And if I'm the one that created you, I can keep you, I can fix you, I can heal you, I can restore you, I can mend you, because I'm God. Doesn't matter that you're old. Doesn't matter you're 90 years old. It just doesn't matter. Not when I am in it. We got three Democratic candidates running that all three of them are almost 80 years old if they get elected. Think about that. Almost 80. That's getting on up there, right? 80. And we're talking about Sarah having a baby at 90. God can do whatever he wants. I will return to thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. She's going to have a son. Trust me, at my time, when I appoint it, it's going to come to pass. And for you that are close to 80, no offense, by the way, I didn't mean that. You forgive me, Roger. He's telling them, I've got this. You can't see it. You may not understand it. You may not even totally believe it. But just trust what I'm telling you. Because I can reverse anything that my hand touches. I can change it. Next verse. Genesis 21:1. This is, we'll read 1 through 6. Let me turn to my Bible on this. Genesis 21:1 through 6. The Lord visited Sarah. Here it comes. The day has arrived. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Woo! Abraham was the man! Can you imagine the fist bumps going around at the local market? As he walked to get his bread and milk. Yeah, man. Just had me a kid. Man, that Planet Fitness working out for you. Yeah, man. 100 years old. I mean, think about that. I bet he was the toast of town. I bet every guy in town, 40 and older, was like, man, tell me a secret, brother. 100 years old. God gave him a son. Verse 6. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. This is talking about joy. God's caused me to rejoice. Here I go send my husband to another woman to have a kid. And God was going to do it for me all along. Now I got to look at Ishmael my whole life. If I just would have waited. On God. But she laughed. She rejoiced. And because she's rejoicing, she wanted people to rejoice with her. Here is this 100-year-old man and 90-year-old woman, or 99-year-old woman, who had a child. And to let you know, Abraham lived to be 175 when he died. So he lived 75 years after his son was born. So he was about middle age. So 175. But God, by faith, and Abraham believed. He believed. And he trusted God. If he hadn't believed, he would have never left his hometown to begin with. But he left his hometown, all that he knew, to go to where God was calling him. And this is what God was doing. I'm preparing you, Abraham. I got to put you in the right place. See, God had to position us where he wants us to be able to bless us the way he wants us to. And sometimes we're not in the right spot. We're not in the right place. So God repositions us. We don't always like it, but God repositions us to position us, to bless us. So I trust that. I may not like where I'm at. I may not like where God's putting me. But I got to trust that where he's putting me is part of his plan. And his plan is always better than my plan. So God, I trust that. And I believe that. And I, by faith, I'll accept that. And I will wait on you. Because God, you have never failed me. There's things in Melanie's life. You know, she's my best friend. There are no two people. There's nobody in my life closer than my wife to me. You know, no one that knows more about me. No more, you know, all my everything, you know, physically, emotionally, mentally, everything. She's my wife, almost 28 years, my wife. And I know her very well. But there are things that I can't fix for her. There are things I can't change for her. As much as I love her, as much as I want to be the knight in shining armor, you know, riding on the stallion, you know, with the armor on and saying, I'll slay that dragon, Miss Melanie. Well, I'll slay it for you. And there's some dragons I may can slay, but there's some I can't. And that's where Melanie has to rely on someone a lot higher than me. Because when she's going through pain in her body, or she's going through anguish in her mind, or she's going through a place of discouragement, or whatever the battle may be she's battling, there's only so much. I can only go so far, but I can't always bring resolve. But God can. God can make the pain go away physically, mentally, emotionally, whatever it is. God can do things I can't do. God can touch places I can't touch. As close and as much as I love Melanie, as much as I would do for her, I'm limited by what I'm able to do. But God is not. And that's when we walk a life of faith. That when things in our lives get to a point, you know, when Randy lost his mom, you know, Walt loved Betty. Loved her. I mean, just loved her. They married over 60 years, high school sweethearts, took care of her the last several years, was her caretaker, and loved her. But he got to a point he couldn't do any more for her. No matter what he tried to do, he couldn't keep her alive. He couldn't save her physical life. And that's where God steps into Betty's life and says, Betty, you've honored me all your life. You've loved me. You've served me. You've worshiped me, and I'm not going to leave you now. You know, Walt can only do so much. He's got to let go of your hand. But as he lets go of your hand, you're going to immediately feel my hand grab you. And I'm taking you the rest of the way. That's a life of faith, to know that God is with us to the very end of our lives. And I trust that. I trust that. Marriages dissolve. Kids, you know, move away. Jobs change. Preachers leave. Your family die. I mean, things happen in life. But the one constant we have is, Lord, you are there always to the very end of the world. You're there. And if I didn't have that faith, church, if we didn't have that faith, what would our lives be? Thank God we have a future that we know is sealed and guaranteed by the blood of Jesus Christ. When we sung that third verse, we can, as Christians, we can truly sing that. One day I'll cross the Jordan. One day I'll cross that Jordan, and death will give way to victory. Hallelujah. Death doesn't have a hold of the Christian. Sickness doesn't have a hold of the Christian. Disease and cancer doesn't have a hold of the Christian. All the battles doesn't have a hold of the Christian. It is the hand of God that holds the believer all of his days. And it's that faith in that hand that gets us through hour by hour and day by day and year by year, knowing, God, your hand supports me and your hand carries me and your hand keeps me. And I'm thankful for that. Faith, I trust it. What's the next verse, Brandon? We'll stop right here, because this gets into kind of a new little story, and I want to concentrate on that. This is talking about when Abraham offers Isaac. We'll get a little bit of that, about the faith that took for Abraham to do that. But I need a little more time than 10 minutes, so we'll wait on that. On this board, you can see, as we're growing our spiritual life, that these are things that we should be reflecting in him. These are things we should be walking in, and these are things we should be giving away. If you're around a church person, a Christian, a saint, and you feel worse being with them after you leave them than when you first met them, they're probably not reflecting this board. And there are some that will do that. There are some that will drag you down. You're like, oh my gosh, I feel worse than I did. We are the light The Bible says we are to be a light to the world. We are not to hide our candle under a bushel where it can't be seen. We are to light our life, not in an aggressive, prideful, arrogant, get on your nerves kind of way, but we are to represent. You know, I got some slack about Christian's car on Facebook I put on there, okay? And this really goes along good with me closing out on this. All right, so Christian's bug's in pretty bad shape. You know, that's why it didn't work out, Gail. I'm glad you had checked out. I warned you to, because I didn't know. So anyway, Tim Sigmund puts it up on the rack to look at everything. So I get a text from Tiffany. Unfortunately, and I didn't know. That's why I told him, I said, check it out, because I don't know. My daughter had it 9 years. I know it's got this, but other than that, I don't know. So I get a text back, and it ain't good. Well, you got oil leaking from the head. You may need a new head altogether. You got coolant leaking. A CV boot's broke. Struts are shot. Valve cover gaskets need to be replaced. And it mentioned a few other things. And I'm sitting there going, oh, my gosh. Okay. It was God's hand I got back from Florida in that car. It was God's hand, I'm telling you. And so once I found all those issues with it, because I was originally asking like $1,350 for the car, just, and I was going to come down some. I was trying to get $1,000 out of it. So once I realized that, you know, honestly, I can't get that money. I could if I was a crook. I could easily just say, oh, take it for a drive. He's got a little this and that. You know, that ain't me, though. And so I put on Facebook what the car, I list like every issue has on there. And I said, I'm trying to, $700 for best offer. I'm just being honest. And then Bruce gets on there and says, man, you ain't supposed to say all that stuff. Well, what does that say about Bruce? No, I'm just playing. I'm just saying. I mean, come on. I don't want to sell that to someone that's not right. I couldn't, and so I was honest, and why I'm saying that is, and though my Facebook post on her car didn't scream, Jesus Lord, get saved, he loves you, hallelujah, my honest post was a reflection of who I am, that I was honest, and I don't want nobody getting something and then breaking down a week later, getting something, and, you know, putting $1,000 in something and it being a lemon completely, where they got to put $3,000 in it. I'll just give it away before I do that. I just pay Christian myself for the car before I do that. That's just who I am. And that's what I'm talking about with, and then Doc got on the bandwagon, but this, hey, church, read the post before you make a remark. Because after I come back, Doc said, oh, I didn't even read the remark. I just thought everybody was joking. Read the substance above of what was going on. Melon made a comment, market is not his greatest. I think I market Jesus pretty good, don't I? I market the gospel pretty good. I try to market living word in a good way. I can market something I can believe in. But, man, when you got an oil leaking out of the head and the struts are broke and the CV's broke and the air don't half work and the lights are bad and the headliner's sagging down, it's got 200,000 miles on it, it goes 3,500 RPMs at 60 miles an hour, something's wrong. And I just can't do that to somebody. So when Gail was asking about it for his granddaughter, I gave him the keys to take it for 2-3 days, drive it, take it to mechanics. I don't know, because I want you to know what's going on before we do anything. Smart me, right? I went from $1,000 in my hand last week to probably nothing now. Woo, I'm a genius. But the point is, be a light. We should be reflecting these things. And if anybody saw that, you know what they might say? Because then everybody knows I'm a pastor in this area. Well, that's an honest pastor. I mean, who tries to sell a car and listen to everything on that's wrong? I just didn't want to waste somebody's time. And I want to stop somebody coming to my house and me going through the whole schmeal there. Well, it's got this. Oh, okay, we'll see you. Well, yeah, you go leave. Of course you go leave. Don't waste my time, your time. Just get it out there. You know what you're getting. Maybe, you know, I get a mechanic that loves projects or, you know, wants to, you know, Doc or somebody said before, Debbie ought to buy it and put it out there with two poles in it, make a mailbox out of it. I don't know. Yeah. But I just thank God I got back home. You know, Gail, Chris said the hot light was coming on, you know, so I put coolant in it when I first got to Florida. And I drove it around for a week. I drove about almost 200 miles that week I was in Florida. Because I gave it, well, a little over 100 miles that week I drove it around. And light didn't come on, drove it all the way, got to Old Mountain Road, and the hot light came on. So I drove over 700 miles before the hot light came on. Well, then when I picked up from your house the other day, as soon as I cranked it up, the hot light was on. Hadn't been drove hardly none. So then I knew, God, you kept me. I went 700 miles, no hot light. Hadn't been driven probably 50 miles. I've been back, hot light, come on. So I know God kept me. So anyway. Christian told me it wasn't no count, but she didn't know. She's a girl. She didn't know what was going on with it. Oh, bless it. Anyway, poor old Sunshine. Well, I mean, it is drivable. Look, for nobody that ain't got no car or much money, that'll get them to work and back. Just keep some antifreeze in the back seat and you're fine. Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody got any comments before we close out about the message tonight? You know what? Hey. You know what Doc told me? Now, here's good old, our good old living word Doc, good Christian Doc. We're back here talking. He goes, you know what? He says, you know, if somebody paid $1,000, if somebody got it, or you know, what'd you say? Somebody, see what's wrong with it. Maybe if you put a few hundred dollars into it, or maybe $1,000 into it, you can sell it for $4,500. I was like, Doc, $4,500? What world do you, that's where I tell everything wrong with it. Oh, yeah, never mind. Said you may get $500 for it. Bunch of charlatans up in here, I tell you. It doesn't. Now that is true. And I told him that. I told Gail that. Remember that? It's got a brand new set of tires. That is true. The tires are worth a couple $100. That's the tires. So we'll see what happens to it. I got it at a friend's house now. He got a garage and he sells cars and works on cars. And I dropped it off to him. And he's gonna give me a call tomorrow and tell me what he can give me for it. So I'll be owing Christian money probably because she had to. Put insurance on it, buy a title. I went up owing her money. Anyway. Oh, bless it. But the good news is she found out how bad a shape it was in because she was questioning whether to get this other car or not and spend the money. And she got peace of mind. I called her and said, honey, you did the right thing. This car, oh, my gosh. To know about her driving in that condition down in Florida now, I'm like, I'm so glad you got something nice. She got a Toyota. Whew. So, lasts forever. All right, anybody, besides buying a car, Doc, anybody's got any comments before we close? LeJune, good to see you. All righty. Well, if you'll stand up, we will close out in prayer. If you have an offering tonight before you go, you can put it in the offering plate. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for giving us... this word to encourage our faith, to increase our faith, to realize that you are moving things even when we don't see them being moved, that you're working on our behalf. God, you're always working behind the scenes, and let's just trust that, knowing that you know our seasons, and you know that. And God, you've got an appointed time for each of us that you're going to move these things in our lives that we are praying for at your appointed time. Let us trust that. It's your time, not mine, God, and I trust that. And I have peace about it until it comes to pass because your promises never fail. Thank you, Lord, for... giving us this word tonight. We pray for strength and encouragement from it, and that we'll take this out of these four walls this week, and we will walk into the workplace tomorrow, God, full of faith, trusting you for our needs to be met, no matter what we don't or do see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of the week. See you Sunday morning.